And welcome to Internet Governance Explained, a Freie Universität podcast that sheds light on the complex and sometimes confusing world of internet regulation. We are Caroline and Claudia, and today we will be discussing influencers and social media. Imagine this, you're scrolling on a social media platform and fall on a post or video from an influencer promoting a product or brand. You look for a sign of sponsorship in the caption or hashtags, but don't find any. You wonder to yourself if this influencer is getting paid for this post, and if so, who is paying them? If this has ever happened to you, you're not alone. In today's digital age, with social media taking up more and more space in our lives, knowing when a post is genuine and when it is sponsored is increasingly difficult. How are influencer posts regulated? Is there any regulation at all? How does this confusing world of brand deals and sponsorships work? In order to gain some clarity and insights on these questions, we are joined today by Ruimbo Masiwa, a Canadian communication studies researcher. Ruimbo is here today to help us understand how influencer regulations work. Let's dive right in.
You could briefly introduce yourself and provide an overview of your academic and professional background and an overview of your research and interests.
I'm Ruimbo Masiwa. I completed my master's in communications and culture in 2021. Through that 2 years that I was completing the program, where I really dug deep into social media influencers, just sort of studying the concept around social media influence and how it intersects with relevant laws. That interest really sparked actually when I was in high school. I was still am an avid watcher of YouTube. I was very much interested in vlogs. Just this phenomena sort of took me that we could pretty much follow the lives of random people that we don't know. At that time, around the age of 15 and 16, I started to notice sort of this prevalence of advertising, particularly on YouTube. And then when I started my undergraduate journey here in Canada at a university called McMaster, sort of started to revisit that interest again in YouTube and studying social media influence from a communications research perspective. My undergraduate thesis was actually a study on whether the professionalization of influencers and increased commercialization, so their ability to make money, whether that sparked any discussions around disclosure, around the legalities. At the master's level, I decided, let me really take this further and actually talk to people in the industry and see their thoughts on regulations.
The next question, how would you describe the importance of influencers on social media, and how would you define what an influencer is?
Digital advertising, social media influencers, they sort of introduce a newer way for brands and companies to sort of advertise and attract consumers. Because sort of with traditional advertising on television, you were kind of reaching the same kind of audiences. But when social media came in, you were now really digging into those niche consumers that you would have never even imagined to be able to reach. And it introduced a business to consumer selling that hadn't existed before. So I think that's the importance of social media influencers, is that they help companies and brands sort of reach some of those harder to reach audiences. I'm thinking about the definition of social media influencers. It's a lucrative group of endorsers, third party endorsers, who are able to not only sell products, but to do it in a way that they establish these very parasocial relationships with people. So you feel like it's a friend who's actually selling something to you. But that's where it gets tricky, because when it's a friend selling you something, you kind of lose your hyper awareness that this is a business transaction, that in me buying this, this is going to financially, or if I use their coupon link or whatever, it's going to financially benefit them, and that it's a business transaction at the end of the day. I would say there are these everyday public figures who we follow who also sell us commercial products.
How would you define influencer regulations? What are, in your opinion, important aspects that come with this whole situation on the regulatory side?
In the Canadian context, at least, you cannot sell something without disclosing a material connection between you and a brand or a company. And so material connections can be anything monetary or non-monetary. So it could be, for example, a gift, a trip, or whatever. So that's why it connects very closely with influencer marketing, because consumers have a right to know whether you were compensated to endorse a certain commercial product. The other example of regulation that I've seen is endorsing endorsements that are not based in actual experience. So me saying, oh, this is a great facial cleanser when I actually haven't used it, that relates very closely to influencer marketing. And so the nice thing is I'm now seeing that consumers are becoming more well-versed in some of the languaging that's used by influencers to kind of be covert in their marketing, and they're calling that out and educating themselves too on the legalities around influencer marketing.
In your mind and in your research, what would clear influencer regulation look like? You mentioned that consumers are more and more educating themselves. In terms of the legal system, is there anything else that we could be doing or that is already being put in place?
It's at the heart of what I discovered when I started talking to intermediaries who work very closely with brands and with influencers. And to be honest with you, going into my research, I was very much top down in how I thought of regulation, that we have these established laws, everyone needs to follow them. And in talking to talent managers, in talking to social media managers who work with influencers on a day-to-day basis and have these conversations around disclosure, I realized that this top-down approach, and other scholars talk about this, that this top-down approach to governance and influencer marketing is actually not the most effective. It's very narrow in how it looks at influencer marketing, because it looks at influencer marketing as just a financial and economic thing. It just focuses on the economic implications of influencer marketing, as opposed to the sociocultural conversations around disclosure, for example. And so through my research and in talking to professionals in the industry, I found that there are a lot of complexities around disclosure, particularly with algorithms, with the perception. So a lot of consumers talk about, I want to see disclosure. But the other side of the coin, then they say, oh, this person has sold out. All they do is sell. So from an influencer perspective, you start wanting to hide those kinds of things because you want to maintain the authenticity of your videos and the content that you produce while also still making money. And so the way that regulation is doled out by some of these regulatory agencies kind of misses those complexities around implementing disclosure with algorithms, and also how consumers perceive disclosure and how that affects the livelihood of digital laborers.
You've already established that you also believe that regulations for influencers and influencer marketing are important. If you could maybe give some more insights on what you believe would be like possible harms in not doing so, like what are the main problems, why it should be clearly regulated?
In recognizing the complexities around regulating social media, also just the social media landscape itself is constantly changing, and we're trying to apply very legal frameworks that take a long time to adapt to social media and advancing technology. So obviously I try to consider that a lot of regulators, it takes them a little bit of time. But I do think that regulation is important, because even in talking to a lot of the professionals I chatted with, I noticed that some of them had no knowledge that their industry was even regulated. And I think that's a problem when we have a knowledge gap like that, because of the 21 managers I interviewed, only 3 knew. To me, if the industry is going to professionalize, I think it is important that they understand the responsibility, the legal responsibility that they have. Of course, I think for the regulation to actually really be effective, I think there needs to be a bi-directional communication with the community and with regulators. From my perspective, it seemed like there was a little bit of a disconnect between the people regulating and the people actually working on the ground on the platform. Because I think with more communication and actually sitting down with leaders, thought leaders in influencer marketing, I think regulators would come to understand. A lot of influencers believe if they use the paid partnership label on a post or put hashtag ad, that they become deprioritized in the algorithm. So what can we do? Maybe it's also important to engage the social media platforms. I think it's very siloed right now. Everybody's just kind of working in their own world and not seeing the intersections between all these groups and why they need to work together to make sure that the regulation is actually meaningful and effective.
That's really super interesting, that idea of having everybody collaborate a little bit on these new ideas, and the fact that everything is moving so fast as well, as you mentioned, is something to consider for sure. Mm-hmm. I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit more about the influencer side. Are you under the impression that the majority of influencers follow these regulations or not? And what do you think causes this?
On the influencer side of things, based on my research and talking with their managers, I think the statistic that I found was that almost 3/4 of influencer ads, particularly on Instagram, don't include either the proper disclosures or a disclosure at all. That gives me the sense that a lot of influencers, either they don't know about disclosure or they just choose not to implement it properly or at all. And also in talking to the 21 managers that I interviewed, a lot of them said a lot of the influencers that we source to work with, we kind of have to introduce and close that knowledge gap because they don't know. A lot of them are just regular people who discover communities online and they sort of flourish that way, and they don't have that education on, you know, influencer marketing and the laws around it. I think that's also what made me think there's a little bit more work actually that could happen in talking directly with influencers to understand what causes these knowledge gaps and to see whether the management piece could be a driver to influence them to become better with keeping up with the laws. So educating our managers to make sure that they are that guiding and advisory piece, they provide sort of that consultation side of management, I think would close some of those gaps.
I was wondering if you could come back briefly on the social media platform aspect of it, because I feel like the algorithms and this whole issue of when posts are clearly marked as being sponsored, then they reach less people. Do you have any thoughts or maybe solutions?
Yeah, you know, that's the big question, right? Especially on the regulatory side, because a lot of the managers that I spoke to would say, you know, we want to be disclosing properly, using the proper hashtags and all that stuff. But again, we're finding that the algorithm sort of deprivileges us and regulators don't seem to be getting that. Now, again, social media platforms, when it comes to algorithms, we know this already. It's a very black boxed environment. They don't want to just expose their secret sauce about their algorithms. So that's the tough part, is how do you engage social media platforms, because they own the machine learning around the algorithms, right? So the path forward, it's something that I'm still thinking about, but maybe it's a way to engage in meaningful conversations with regulators. Since we actually work in the platforms every day, this is what we found works for us. What's a middle ground that we can reach where we can design standardized disclosures that are recognized by everybody? Also, you might think you're hitting a nice dream with an algorithm, they change the algorithm, and then you get affected again. So obviously, that conversation maybe will need to be revisited. I don't know how feasible that is. But I think in my research, at least, if I could get an opportunity as well to engage regulators, I think that would be good too, to kind of just get their perspective on things as well, and how they view sort of the fast changing nature of social media platforms and trying to apply laws that move a little bit slower. To be honest with you, it's tough to see a path forward because the social media platforms are kind of closed off in how they talk about algorithms. So even these theories around deprioritization are not really rooted in hardcore facts that we've heard from the social media platforms.
I was just wondering if maybe you could talk about any future research that you're doing, like specifically, what are you working on right now?
I'm desperately looking for a holistic view of the topic and to sort of maybe create a platform where I can bring those insights from managers to other groups, other, you know, relevant stakeholders, and hopefully inspire meaningful conversations that could lead to a reframing of what regulation actually looks like on the ground.
It was really interesting to hear your perspective. I think it brings a lot of important points, like the whole multiple parties involved and the evolution and everything is really, really interesting. Do you feel like anything else that you would like to add?
It's a whole world all in its own, and there's so many pieces to it. So there's just so much that is so ripe and ready for exploration, particularly with intersections, the law and consumer protection and protecting creators.
Thank you so much for tuning in today and joining us in trying to grasp and better understand the complex world of influencers, influencer marketing, and its regulations. Make sure to listen to the other episodes of this podcast that all deal with an interesting topic in the realm of internet governance. Thank you for listening.